becomes fast around us. Sometimes it feels like a blur. We pass each other and make judgments of each other constantly. You're doing it right now, seeing this woman across the street. We cross and recross, but rarely connect. We struggle to understand each other, so we don't trust each other. I know your name, but I don't know who you are. You know my name, but do you know my story? What if suspicion, fear, and prejudice were replaced by understanding, respect, love, and trust? What would help us see beyond our perceptions? Story. Our stories are what make us human. Stories have the power to overcome our perceptions, to show the heart of Christ's message for us to love one another. Sharing a story isn't hard. It's a simple human act, connecting us deeper to people we already know. Reach out. Ask. Invite. Then listen. Truly listen. There's something beautiful waiting to be heard. Stories have the power to overcome our perceptions. They help us understand. Stories bring healing. Ask. Listen. Tell. It's our way of building our nation. Heartlines has developed resources to help you on this journey in your workplace, at your school, church, and in your home. These resources will empower you to build understanding, trust, and reconciliation through personal storytelling. Imagine if we were part of a powerful wave of change, one story at a time. We all have a story to tell. What's your story?
Good evening and thank you for joining us on Good News Community Radio 93.6 FM, the station that endeavours to bring you the good news of Jesus Christ 24/7. And this evening, I have some more good news. It is 1800 hours and we are back with your program, Heartlines. I am joined by Craig Bushier. And today we're going to be continuing a discussion about the Heartlines Fathers Matter campaign. But first up, Craig, thank you for joining us again. Welcome back to the program.
Good evening, Larice. It's good to be back. I certainly have missed it.
So, Craig, could you tell us what you've been up to this last while?
Yeah, Larice. So it's been an interesting and a wonderful journey. You know, the Heartlines had a proposal accepted by the Solidarity Fund to actually run 15 bridge building workshops using What's Your Story as a basis to bring about reconciliation. So for us here in KZN, there have been 8, and that has been in the areas of Stanga, Phoenix, KwaMashu, Umlazi, Hammersdale, Mpopomeni, which is near Harwick, Moy River, and Newcastle. And in fact, just this week on Tuesday, we were in Hammersdale for the follow-up on the first day. Wednesday, we were in doing KwaMashu. And yesterday, I was in Stanga for the follow-up of the bridge building event. And so we use these bridge building events are 1.5 days. And we actually use the power of story to bring about reconciliation with leaders in those communities and all role players from church to CPFs to Department of Social Welfare, community safety groups. And it's been an amazing journey over the last 2 months doing that. And so we have a few more that we are finishing up over the next couple of weeks, but it's been absolutely exciting and amazing feedback from the participants.
Great.
And so in the middle of all that, Larice, will you believe it? In the middle of this, this came up. We were supposed to run it over 12 months, and then we only got approval in April. And then they said, no, it has to all be completed by the end of August. And we managed to push it out to September. And in the middle of that, Heartlines has been busy with producing 6 films, have an agreement with SABC to screen these. And SABC said, no, they would like them screened from the 17th of September. And we were anticipating that only taking place in 2023. And so doing these bridge building workshops, now having film launches. And so it's been extremely busy, but it's been so positive because we have an opportunity to shift our country through story and then also through Fathers Matter.
How do you think story ties into the topic of Fathers Matter? What is the role that storytelling plays in sort of the seeking out healing?
Yeah, that is a good question. You know, I find that story tends to find itself everywhere, and particularly around fathers. You know, I'll give you an example. I had to take an Uber ride on Wednesday, and I'm chatting to the driver, and then he was asking me what I do, and I told him about story, and I told him about Fathers Matter. And when I told him about Fathers Matter, he says, wow, that is a very important one. In fact, that's my story. I've grown up without my father. I tried to make contact with him. I tried to find him. And I'm 34 years old today, and I've never met my father. And so as I listened to him and he shared his story with me, I realized that Fathers Matter is about the story of family. It's about a story of a child and a father, whether it's negative or positive. And so it's intertwined within the whole Fathers Matter story. And in the films that have been produced, each one is telling a story about a situation with fathers.
Craig, what is the main message? If you could think of all the stories that you're going to be broadcasting through SABC, what's the main message that unifies these stories and that you as an organization want to share with the South African population?
Yeah, the main message of our Fathers Matter campaign, and that's including the message within the films, is to promote the positive and active presence of fathers in children's lives. Because we know that men can be physically present, but not there emotionally for their children. They can also be present, but have a negative effect on their children. And so on the other hand, men can be physically apart from their children, but still be positively and emotionally involved in their lives. So the positive, active, and involved men are absolutely necessary in children's lives, particularly in our country where almost 70% of children are growing up without their biological fathers. And so in the films, the other key part is to help people realize that even if, and particularly for the men, even if you're not a biological father to a child, that child sees you as a role model, and you can be a social father to that child. So even family members, you've got a niece, a nephew whose father's not present. That uncle can be that social father for those kids.
Craig, can you just cover once again one of the big reasons why fathers aren't present in their children's lives? It can often be that there's a wrong perception of fatherhood from both the side of the family, the mother, and maybe even the grandparents, but also fathers can have a wrong perception of what fatherhood is actually all about.
Yeah, the research highlighted the fact that fathers are often viewed as the ones who provide the money and often viewed as ATM machines. In fact, many respondents in the research said, you know, hey, a father's an ATM machine. When you need money, that's who you go to. And that straight away is a wrong perception because, yes, we know fathers must provide, but we also know that that's not the only role of a father. And also in a country where we have 12 million plus minus unemployed people, there are fathers who are unemployed but still want to be involved in their children's lives and want to be active, want to be present. And just two of the barriers that were identified and two big barriers is one, Lobola is often a stumbling block to fathers being involved in their children's lives, where the family refuse him to have access to the children because he hasn't paid Lobola. The other is in the event of damages where a mother's become pregnant and they not married and the father hasn't paid the damages, therefore he's denied access to that child. And so often in that situation, what you're having is the child is actually being used as the pawn to determine the access or the non-access for that father in the child's lives. And in turn, we are not realizing the damage it's doing to the child.
Craig, how does Heartline see that, you know, absence of a father, whether, you know, it's physical or just an absence of a present good role model, how does that play out in the life of a child?
Yeah, that's a very, very good question, Larice. When the father is absent, the risks to the child are much greater. And the reality is the research shows that children growing up without positive male role models, and the father is generally the first male role model in a child's life, are at risk of becoming victims or perpetrators of violence, illness, drug and alcohol abuse, teenage pregnancy. Often these kids struggle at school, and it also leads to negative economic outcomes when they are much older. And so the ability for that child to succeed in life is certainly hampered. Now, we are not saying that, you know, somebody who grows up without a father can't make a success of life or can't be a positive contributor to life. But we are saying that the risks are far greater. So it is interesting. My Uber driver on Wednesday, and his name is Becky, and he's willing to tell his story, and so I'm okay to share his first name. And he said to me, he said, you know what? Yes, he grew up without his father. His mother married, and he had a stepfather. He didn't live with them, but he also shared the story of how every time he visited his mom, he would be beaten up by his stepfather. Every visit, he would be beaten up by his stepfather. But within that, Becky got educated. In fact, he even went to university. He's got a degree. He started a boxing club to get kids off the street. And when I was leaving, he said to me, he says, Craig, the one thing, the day I have a child, I will not be like my father, and neither will I be like my stepfather. And so Becky gives us an example of someone who was at risk but has beat the odds. Now, the reality is that story is more in the minority. Let's not take those risks. Let be there for kids. And if I can just add, Larisse, is that as a social father, when I think of myself, I had a very present father my whole life. But I can think of my father being a social father to others, and even for myself being a social father to others. And so you can be a teacher, a soccer coach, a Sunday school teacher, a youth leader, a pastor that can actually plug that gap because the biological father is not present.
Craig, how does Heartlines hope that the series of films will speak into the space of father wounds and father absence?
Yeah, our hope is that with us having national television coverage, we'll create awareness, we'll get people talking, and the aim is that we would be able to reach 5 million fathers. That is our aim. Hopefully it'll even be more than that, so that one, there's an awareness that fathers do matter. We want people to know that fathers do matter. The one thing that we do know, if you ask anybody the question, do mothers matter? The answer, you don't even have to hesitate to answer. We know mothers matter. And in fact, we know that mothers have carried a heavy load, and in fact have carried the load of fathers for decades. But we want people to know that fathers matter. It is important to have a father involved in a child's life. It's not a case of, well, you know what, I don't care about him. I don't need him. The children don't need him. They're doing fine without him. That should not be the narrative. In fact, we need to have that shift, because I'll give you another example, Larisse. I had a conversation with a gentleman in Umlazi that heads up an organization that works with orphan boys. And recently they got these boys, when it was Father's Day, to write a letter to their fathers. And he was kind enough to share those letters with me without the names of the kids. And as I began to read those letters, I actually thought these kids had fathers, because most of the letters went this way. Dear Dad, I want you to know that I love you and I miss you. I wish I could meet you. Even though I don't know you, I want you to know that I love you. And as I began to read the letters, all of them carried that same theme. And I'm thinking, these are kids that have not had a father, that don't know their fathers, but they have a longing to have their father present in their lives.
Craig, it's so easy to look at, you know, the mistakes that men have made. And, you know, everybody, we're human, so we're all going to sin. We're all going to make mistakes. But it's so easy to look at the mistakes of men and for a woman as a mother to feel that you don't need this man in your life, that the effect that he's going to have in your children is going to be more negative than positive. Speak to that fear in a mother's heart. What can she do to open the possibility up for her children to have a relationship with their father, you know, without putting those children at more risk?
Yeah, I would say if the father is abusive to the children or is going to be negative towards those children by being involved, then you don't want that child to be connected to the father. The child can be aware of who their father is, but we need to protect that child, right? But if the father is going to be positive in that child's life, give that opportunity. If you're uncertain, well, at least provide the opportunity, doing it in a protected way, in a safe way, so that you know that the child is not going to be negatively impacted. because every child has the right to know who their father is. Every child has the right to have a relationship with their father. And then that decision can be taken. If it's causing harm, then you take a decision on how you protect that child so that that father does not have a negative influence. But also, we know that everybody messes up in life. Everybody makes a mistake. We know Romans says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so there is an opportunity for a second chance. We know that God is a God of second chances. And so for us to live out what his word says, then we've got to give that opportunity for fathers to re-enter their child's life. If the father's going to re-enter the child's life, it does not mean that the mother now has to go back to that same relationship as before. But also whatever their conflict has been and whatever might have caused their separation, not let that come in the way of a father being able to have access to their children. And I think mothers can also play the role in being in speaking to the rest of the family. It might be the grandmother that's preventing. It might be the grandfather. It might be uncles, aunts that don't want to give that father access. And so mothers have a role in that they can speak to their family and express what's good for the child, but also begin to share what the research is showing so that they can see that this will be of value to their child.
Mm. Craig, how can the general public get involved in this movement?
Well, one, we'd love them to see the films, which are starting on the 17th of September at 8:30 on SABC2. We want them to become excited about the Fathers Matter movement, right? And if they see the films, this can help them get excited. It can help them change the narrative around fatherhood in our country to help change perceptions, behaviors around fatherhood. And in order for this to happen, we need the collective. We need everybody to get on board. We want thousands beginning to talk. But instead of speaking all the negative things about men, begin to speak the positive possibilities that exist. Because at the end of the day, we've got to change the narrative. Now, we know that in our country, many of our social ills can be traced back to men not playing a positive role in society. And so if we as a nation do not begin to focus around turning the whole idea of what a father is to change the perceptions of fatherhood, because that's a big one. The perception has to be changed. That a father is not just an ATM machine. A father provides support. A father provides also emotional support. A father helps with the identity struggles that children have. And so we want the nation positively involved, getting conversations started, the church to become Fathers Matter champion churches, that people will know this church is focused on fathers being great role models for their children. And so if we can get people behind it, especially the church, fully behind this, I believe we have an opportunity to shift the conversation around fathers in our nation.
Craig, could you tell us a bit more about the individual films that will be covered in this project?
Yeah, so it's 6 films and they 30 minutes each. And as I said, they will screen from the 17th of September for 6 weeks in a row on SABC2. They'll also be repeated on a Thursday evening. And they'll also be shown online on Telkom One, which is an SABC channel. So the first film is called The Family Portrait. And this film deals with the first 1,000 days of a child's life and the importance of a father being present. right? And in this film, you have Ayiza is a struggling artist who becomes a new father when his girlfriend Nomvula has a baby. He's devoted to both of them and their baby girls in Zile, but he must prove to his rather terrifying and tough mother-in-law, Cecilia, that he's good enough to be a good dad, even though he can't provide financially. And so that's the first one. The second one is called In Time. And In Time is a father's responsibility is more than providing money. So we've been talking about a father being an ATM machine. And so the movie In Time actually zeroes in on that and unpacks the story so that we begin to see fathers differently. The third one in the series is called Melody. And Melody is a successful banker who was raised by a loving single mother. She is about to be married to Luyanda. Wedding plans are underway. Lobola negotiations are about to start. But all this brings back old wounds and deep feelings of abandonment. And she begins to ask herself the question, why did my father, Mojalefa, abandon her as a baby? And that really highlights the father wound that many people carry. And so the fourth one is Manskap. Supportive social networks such as the church can promote healing for people who have a father wound. So it's a beautiful connection to the previous film. And in this film, we see through Kyle, who is a troubled but promising young man, he's unemployed, fatherless, and raised by a single mother, Sandra, with nothing much to keep him motivated besides his love for cars. So Kyle finds himself in the clutches of a powerful local gang leader known as Roy, when another father figure steps in to offer him a new sense of direction. Kyle now must make a choice. Can Bra Warren help Kyle find a different path in his life? Does Kyle want it badly enough? And so that's a very interesting film, and I know the audience is going to love it. And the sixth one is called Airwalker. It's about shared decision-making and good communication between parents is essential for children's well-being. And this one focuses on Zoe, who is a gifted young skateboarder whose talents earn her a spot in a promo for her favorite skate park. But her parents, Bridget and Mike, are separated, and their continual fighting affects her deeply. So Zoe finds herself a continual pawn in their conflict, caught between their lies and constant arguments. A frustrated Zoe lands up in a very life-threatening situation. But is this enough to give her parents a reality check? And so, Larice, these six films, they are tight, over half an hour, dealing with real issues that parents are facing today and what centers around what's going on with the father. But also the last one, Airwalker, is about co-parenting. Often people think, well, okay, whichever parent is raising the child is the one that makes all the decisions. And often it's the mother that's raising the child. But there is space to have a co-parenting relationship, even if those parents are not living together. And so that introduces that idea.
Craig, there are so many relatable things in these films. I mean, one that we have touched on quite a few times already in the program is that idea of a father being only there for financial support. You know, the one father struggles to get access to the child because he can't financially support. And yet on the other side, the other father, you know, is financially supporting and he's totally satisfied with that being his only role in his children's life. You know, there's the idea of father wounds. There's the thing of, you know, as the child being stuck between your two parents who are fighting, what do you as Heartlines hope that all these very relatable themes in each of these movies will bring up in conversation?
Yeah, Larice, the hope is that people will begin to talk about these issues, because what often happens, these things are often not spoken about. They're kept behind the surface. Nobody's talking because on one hand, men tend not to talk and they internalize and try and process things internally. But often the families are not talking. We all know there is a problem, but nobody's talking. And so the hope is that people will begin to talk about these issues, which can be sensitive, but that they begin to talk about it. Because, you know, as we begin to talk about it, it means we can start taking steps to finding solutions to these problems. You know, life is full of challenges, full of problems. But if we begin to start having the conversations, it's the first steps towards us finding solutions, because with everything, there is a solution. Mm. But we need to begin to have the conversation.
Craig, one last question as we're coming to the close of the program. Why does Heartline specifically choose film to bring across this message? What do you think is the power behind media?
Yeah, we know that today people are glued to the screen. Whether it's the screen on your cell phone, whether it's the television screen. I don't want to give away my age now, but I remember when television first came to South Africa in 1976, if I'm not mistaken. We were fascinated watching this rainbow lines on the screen. And you had television, I think, firstly, it was 1 hour, then it went to 3 hours, and you had one channel. Where today, we've got hundreds of channels. Everybody can access it through a variety of platforms. And so Heartlines tends to anchor all its projects through mass media. And what the mass media does is give the nation a glimpse and it touches. And somebody would have caught this film, because we know millions and millions of people watch television. And so if they see this film, even if they're not aware there's a Father's Matter campaign or a What's Your Story campaign, it lodges in their memory bank. Mm. Then what we do is on the ground, we run presentations, workshops around Father's Matter, which is our current project here, and we would run that on the ground across the nation. So as Heartlines, we have a presence in every province and in every major city in our country. And so people are able to get in contact with us. And if a church is saying, hey, can we do a workshop here on Father's Matter? Can we have a presentation? Whatever it is, we have people on the ground to be able to do that. And so the film is to get the message to the widest possible audience. And then following that, Heartlines likes to drill down by actually having face-to-face contact with people to solidify that message.
Craig, how can we pray for this Father's Matter campaign, and also specifically for the films that will be airing throughout September?
I'm so glad you asked me that. Yeah, the one thing we are very cognizant of is that anything that is going to accomplish much requires prayer. And in fact, we have started putting the word out to prayer groups across the nation to begin to pray, one, into the films that we would get people watching, but also to pray for those who are going to watch, that their hearts would be softened and their hearts would be open to hear the message, especially for fathers who are not playing their role as they should be right now, but also for the many that are carrying fatherhoods. I've come into contact with people who are in their 60s and carrying a father wound for 40, 50 years. And so that for those who are watching, carrying this father wound, that healing will come to them, that regardless of how old they are, that they would know there is hope for them, because we know that God, through Jesus Christ going to the cross, is our healer, and he can bring that healing. And what may be needed, and if it's identified, you know, be it in a church community or anyone, and say, you know what, maybe we as a church need to have a meeting, a workshop, a church service, whatever it might be, just focusing on healing the fatherhood. And so I think if we can pray into those two things, I think are the key things. But also, if I can add one more, beyond that, with the workshops taking place on the ground, that we'd see God move and bring about miraculous change in the lives of the fathers of our nation.